This hour is sponsored by Feldman Surveyors. At Feldman, they get it right from the ground up.
Diving deep into your Boston Red Sox, it's Red Sox Review with Brian Barrett, your exclusive home of the Sox, WEEI.
1-1. Driven in the air to right field. Renfro back three steps. He's there. He has it, and the ball game is over. The Red Sox win their third straight, and for now, they are number one in the wild card chase. They beat the Orioles 7-1, half a game now in front of the Yankees and one game in front of the Toronto Blue Jays. 7-1, Boston wins it.
All right, Joe Castiglione on the call. There you go. The Red Sox, as he said, they now have sole possession of first place in the wild card. The Blue Jays, the almighty Blue Jays, lost to the Minnesota Twins tonight. Ryu got roughed up, and it was a mess for the Blue Jays. After that, and shockingly, their offense couldn't come back in the game. So the Yankees remain a half game back of the Sox for the first wild card spot. So your Red Sox now back where they're supposed to be, atop the wild card position right now. So what did you make of this game tonight? Also on the table, what did you make of Chris Sale's outing? And would it be a failure if this team doesn't lock up one of the wild card spots? 617-779-7937 is the number. From my perspective, it's also imperative they get that number one spot. And I know ordinarily you say in Major League Baseball, yeah, it's not so important to have home field advantage. Well, it is for this Red Sox team, because after tonight's game, they are 45-29 at Fenway Park. So they are rolling in front of the home crowd, which has not been as great as you'd like it to be. 13th in attendance. Alex Cora, prior to the game, made it abundantly clear that he wants the fans to be absolutely wild. I shouldn't say wild, but he wants the fans to be part of the equation this weekend. Remember, they play tomorrow at 1, and they're going to play Sunday at 1 as well. And you can get pretty good prices on the tickets right now. So if you have an opportunity to go to the game tomorrow, Sunday, might as well go ahead and do it. It's going to be a fun afternoon at Fenway, both Saturday and Sunday. So if you have an opportunity to do it, I would encourage you to do it. But here's the thing with this Red Sox team right now. This is what Jimmy Valvano used to say about the NCAA tournament. Survive in advance. The Orioles are on your schedule. You now have five more games with the Orioles. Beat up on them. Anything less than a sweep against this Orioles team would be a failure, right? There was a reason that we were celebrating as Red Sox fans last night when the Yankees lost to the Orioles and when the Blue Jays tonight lost to the Minnesota Twins. So when you look at this game tonight, yeah, there's some things you'd like them to clean up, but I would say right off the bat, the defense has been the best I've seen it in a while. And I don't know if that's one of those things where if you look at, for example, Kyle Schwarber, when he first came over, it was like, holy crap, this team is walking all of a sudden. As a team, their walk rate went sky high, right? They were 24th prior to Schwarber coming over, and now they're top five in baseball since Schwarber's debut in walk rate. So I'm wondering if Jose Iglesias' impact on the team has been on the defensive side, where you've seen Rafael Devers make a nice play today. Xander Bogaerts made a really nice play, and Iglesias made a couple of really nice plays. And it's kind of weird to see, because Iglesias is somebody that earlier this season, when he was playing for the Angels, his defensive metrics were horrible. In fact, he was one of the worst defensive shortstops in baseball this season, but ever since he came over to the Red Sox, and really mainly since he was playing second base, the guy's been absolutely tremendous. Now, here's the unfortunate part as it pertains to Jose Iglesias, who you just heard Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold chatting with after the game. He can't be on the postseason roster. It's really unfortunate, right? I mean, if this COVID situation occurred like a couple of weeks earlier for the Red Sox, in all likelihood, Jose, now he was waived in late August, or DFA'd, I should say. That's the baseball terminology. He could have been here. And he's really had an impact on this team. I'm wondering if part of it with Jose Iglesias is just being in a position where he's playing in a bigger market, playing for a better team. Because when he was in Detroit, yeah, his numbers tailed off at the end, but he was good for Detroit for a number of years. Ever since then, his hitting numbers have been better, but the defense obviously has tailed off a little bit. But ever since he came back to Boston, we've seen the defense come back. All right, so what did you make of tonight's win? What did you make of Chris Sale's performance? And how big of a failure would it be if this team does not get into the postseason? 617-779-7937 is the number. But before we go any further, let's hear from the manager, Alex Cora.
Well, the slider was a lot better than his first few outings. The velocity wasn't there, but now we talk a little bit. It's hard to get it going, you know, in those 10 days just trying to do it by yourself, right? He tried everything in the yard, you know. They even had that fake mound, whatever, but just to throw into a net or whatever, it's not the same. So, he had to pitch today. It was good to see a slider play the way he did today. A lot of weak contact. We played great defensively behind him, and he gave us enough. You know, five innings. The bullpen did an amazing job again, and offensively we did enough.
Alex, in terms of what you've seen from Sale in these six starts that he's made, like, how much have you been impressed by him as a pitcher, you know, like someone who is kind of a pitchability guy?
He went through this before. I remember when I was working in the media, one year in Chicago, his velocity was way down. He just pitched. And you look at his splits and percentage of pitches and all that. He's always, you know, we feel like this is the guy that he throws 100 all the time. And he changes speeds with the fastball. He uses the changeup. He sinks the ball a little bit. And then the slider goes from short one to big one. So his ability to pitch has always been there. And he understands what he needs to do on a nightly basis to give us 5-6 innings and then give us a chance to win. And tonight was a perfect example. Hayes got a fastball in the inside part of the plate. They recognized that the fastball today wasn't acting the way it usually does, him and Christian, and they went to plan B. And they start, you know, using the slider a little bit more, the changeup, a lot of off-speed pitches, and he did an amazing job.
Alex, what did you see from Barnes today?
I mean, just to go out there and compete, that's good. Some good fastballs at the end of the outing. The breaking ball was okay, so it's a good first step. We're good?
Wow. Alex, in terms of Dahlbeck, we've obviously talked a lot about his offensively. What have you seen from him defensively recently at first base?
He's been more aggressive defensively. There's no hesitation. I think the first step has gotten better. It's funny because I do believe the work we did with Kyle, he was there too. While we were, you know, getting Kyle prepared to play first base, and he went through the same drills. It's not that we didn't do it earlier, but it was different stuff at this time. And I think also going to third base a few times, it helped him kind of like to remind him, you're a good defender, you know, all through college. You always play great defense, and you can see it now. There's no hesitation going to his right. You know, the picks today were great, and he's in a good spot. I do believe also that obviously swinging the bat the way he is has helped a lot mentally.
All right, so that was Alex Cora after the game. If you want to weigh in on anything the manager said, certainly welcome to do so. Also, what did you make of Chris Sale's performance? And would it be a failure if this team doesn't get one of the wild card spots? 617-779-7937 is the number. Just real quick on Chris Sale. Now, he also said he thought that Matt Barnes competed. I was not impressed with Matt Barnes whatsoever. That was not reassuring to see Matt Barnes out of the mound. He walked McKenna. First three batters, by the way. He got 8-9-1. Or I should say he got 7-8-9-1. 9-2. So he ended up walking McKenna. He worked that into a full count. He struck out Valleca, but that was something where he swung at two pitches out of the zone, and again, it was a full count. And then Gutierrez, the nine-hitter, he singled the opposite way on a fastball that was up in the zone. He had him down 1-2. The nine-hitter. He had the nine-hitter down 1-2. Put him away. He couldn't. He fouled off three fastballs. He then got Mullins to fly out on a curveball. He struck out Mountcastle. But the first three batters, all three of those go full counts. He gives up a hit. He walks a guy. He just doesn't seem to be there yet, and I get it's his first outing back from COVID. But remember, prior to COVID, Matt Barnes had not been throwing the ball particularly well. So I didn't feel any better about Matt Barnes being part of the equation. You really look at the numbers. June 11th, since he signed that contract until COVID, was not the same pitcher. 264 opponents batting average. Before that, 171. So you're talking about a 93-point dip-off. The strikeout rate was 44.6 prior to the contract extension, since 31%. So that's a 13% dip off. I just don't feel confident, and I don't think Alex Cora would feel confident going into, say, the Yankees series next weekend and putting him out there in a high leverage situation in the seventh and the eighth inning. Now, maybe we see something in the next couple of days. Maybe Sunday he's not going to pitch tomorrow, but maybe Sunday or maybe against the Mets in a blowout, you see something you feel good about. But I quite frankly just don't feel good about where Matt Barnes is at after seeing him tonight. And I know everybody was excited to get Matt Barnes back. It felt like that was kind of the feeling around here, well, Matt Barnes is going to be back. Yeah, but remember, Matt Barnes wasn't the Matt Barnes that was an all-star prior to going on the COVID list. He was a guy that was ineffective. As for Chris Sale, I give him a lot of credit for going out there tonight and competing, and he pitched a contact. One thing you look at in terms of the contact tonight, the average exit velocity was just 80.9 miles an hour. Okay, so that means a ton of soft contact. The best qualified starter in terms of average exit velocity this year is Zach Wheeler, who's in the conversation for National League Cy Young winner, 84.6 miles an hour. So Sale's pretty much 4 miles an hour better than that tonight. So yes, he was pitching to soft contact, but he didn't have the hit and miss stuff. And you heard Alex Cora saying the velocity on the fastball was down. He averages 92.4 miles an hour on the season. He's at 93.5 today. So even with the time off, didn't have his fastball. He went to the slider a lot. He threw 40 sliders, 51%. And in the first five starts, he was averaging about 27% sliders. So you're talking about a massive jump off when it comes to that in terms of the slider usage. And the four-seam usage was down. Usually it's about 50%. Tonight he was at about 29% because he didn't have the velocity in it whatsoever. But here's the thing. He had one strikeout. He got four whiffs on 38 swings. That's 11% in terms of the whiff rate. That's the worst whiff rate among starting pitchers this year is 18.8%. So Chris Sale just did not have the hit and miss stuff at all. So I give him credit for being able to manipulate and maneuver his way through a lineup. But this gives me even more confidence in my idea that if you're starting a wild card game, Nathan Eovaldi has to be the guy because he's just a way more dominant pitcher than Chris Sale. And I don't believe Chris Sale all of a sudden in the next couple of outings is going to turn out to the strikeout guy that he was a couple of years ago. I think we'll see that guy again in 2022, but I feel like this is what you're going to get out of Chris Sale going forward. And that's why I felt like Alex Cora, it was the right decision to pitch him tonight. And I feel good about the fact that Sale isn't going to be pitching against the Yankees. And I know a lot of you are going to want to say, oh, well, we want to see him against the Yankees because that's the best team left on the schedule. But here's the thing. The Yankees hammer lefties, okay? They hit lefties way better than righties. On base percentage is fourth in baseball against lefties, .337. 63 home runs, that's ninth in baseball. You look at righties, they're horrible. 26 in average, 19th in runs scored, 18th in OPS, 15th in on-base percentage compared to 4th in on-base percentage against lefties. So I feel like you're setting Chris Sale up for a bad situation against the Yankees, so you might as well go with your right-handers against that lineup. So I don't have an issue with it whatsoever. In fact, I think you're taking advantage of Sale by putting him out there against the Mets, who basically have the same numbers against lefties and righties, and they're one of the weaker offenses in all of Major League Baseball. So get the games you know you can win. And that's why going down the stretch here, I feel like it's the smart thing to have Chris Sale pitch against the Mets rather than the Yankees. And of course, Nathan Eovaldi is going to pitch against pretty much everybody, and he's been your best pitcher all season long. All right, so what did you make of Chris Sale's performance? What do you make of the win for this team tonight? And would it be a failure if they don't make it into the postseason? 617-779-7937, the number. Let's kick it off with Wally. What's up, Wally?
What's up, Brian? A good win tonight. I mean, you set the formula last night. Get the lead early, score, keep on tacking runs. But just pull Baltimore pitching staff. Everybody's punching back.
Oh, they're
horrible.
Might
as well let the bat boy pitch. But like I said, everything's set up. I mean, you really have a pot, like you said. Barnes is not the same guy. You really don't have a closer. It's just a potluck bullpen. But you have to give Cora credit for manipulating his pitches. He seems to put everybody in a spot where, you know, where they succeeded. Same with the lineup tonight. I mean, Bobby Dalbec, he just completely turned his season around. We wanted to run the guy out of town a couple of months ago.
I know. It's really incredible to see the
turnaround.
And he
might knock in 80 runs. So, his confidence level is very high. But, of course, we'd be disappointed if we didn't get in the playoffs. I mean, I think we got the best schedule. I mean, Toronto, they couldn't keep scoring 15 runs a game. The Yankees really don't have any, you know, outside of Gerrit Cole, you don't have to worry about anybody else. But I'm very confident with this team right now.
Yeah, and Wally, I appreciate the phone call. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. The other thing I would say as it pertains to the wild card and it being a failure, you have to get the number one seed in terms of the wild card. You look at the schedules coming up. The Sox, they have two more with the O's in this series, then two with the Mets who have not been good, three with the Yankees, three more with the O's, and then three with the Nationals who have the worst bullpen you'll ever watch. I mean, they are absolutely atrocious. They rival the Orioles, I should say. It's pretty damn close. You look at the Yankees. They have two more with Cleveland. Then they have three with Texas, and Texas stinks. Cleveland, not great, but not a pushover. Three with the White Sox, okay, and they are playing for something in terms of the two seed in the American League. And then you have three with the Jays, if you're the Yankees, and three with the Rays. You look at the Jays' schedule, they have two more with the Twins, who they lost to tonight. Three with the Rays, four with the Twins, who stink, but they lost to them tonight. Three with the Yankees and three with the O's. So even if you look at the Jays, the Red Sox have the easier schedule. I'd much rather have that game at Fenway Park than have to go to Toronto. They haven't had playoff baseball since, what, Joey Bats was there. That place would be electric. Wally brings up a couple of points in terms of the Red Sox scoring early. We saw that tonight. We saw them putting them away with Hunter Renfroe with that base-clearing double, if you will. You think about this Red Sox team. First six innings of games, they are fourth in runs scored, 540. Third in batting average, fourth in on-base percentage, 797 OPS. That's third in baseball. That's what they have to continue to do against this Orioles team. Don't let them hang around like the Yankees did this past week where they played a lot of close games. Just knock them out early. The pitching staff is absolutely atrocious. Just get after them early and put them out of their misery. Now, he also mentioned the bullpen. One thing that I really do like about the bullpen is Tanner Houck's going in there, right? He could pitch as early as tomorrow. He could pitch Sunday. But Tanner Houck is going to be a legitimate weapon out there for the Red Sox. Okay, so just think about it from this perspective. Tanner Houck, we all know the issue this year. He can't go deep into games. So I guess in some sense, it is sort of a failure that he's going out there, right? Because Tanner Houck was a big-time pitching prospect for you. You expected him to be part of the rotation at the end of the season. Quite frankly, he hasn't shown you that he can go through the lineup the third time. Opponents hitting 467 with a 556 on-base percentage, a 933 slugging percentage, and a 1489 OPS. So he cannot pitch through the order the third time through. That's clear, right? But he is absolutely dominant the first time through. He has a 33.7% strikeout rate. That is absolutely ridiculous. And his opponent's batting average is 209. So he is dominant the first time through the order. So that's why when you look at it, and one thing Alex Cora has mentioned since Garrett Richards went to the bullpen, is they didn't really have a slider from the right side, which I never understood why he said that, because you've had Ottavino all season long. So I never understood that. But anyway, Houck has a tremendous slider, and guys don't get a good look at him the first time through. So I really do feel like by taking Houck out of the rotation, putting him in the bullpen, you're getting the best use out of him. Think about it. You're losing a lot of the games that he starts as a pitcher this year. That's just the reality of it, right? I mean, the guy as a pitcher, I know it's an old stat, he doesn't have a win. So this is going to be the best situation for Tanner Houck, is put him in the bullpen. Okay, say like tonight, Chris Sale gives you five innings and he gives you five scoreless innings, but you feel like, all right, we don't want to send him back out there for the six, right? Or if it's Erod in a couple of, on Tuesday night, Erod gives you five, you're like, okay, he's done. He's thrown 90 pitches, whatever it is in terms of the pitch count. You don't want him to face the order the third time through because Erod's numbers are horrible the third time through. You say, okay, Houck, go give us two innings. Think about that. You get seven innings from the Erod-Houck combination. So this is the best position for the Red Sox in 2021, is to put Tanner Houck in the bullpen and make him a weapon a la Garrett Whitlock. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike. He's in Connecticut. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Brian. I'll tell you, I'm a little concerned about Sale only striking on one Oriole.
Me too.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I mean, I give him credit for going through the lineup, but he doesn't have the hit-and-miss stuff right now. Even the slider.
No.
The slider, which was effective, he was able to get outs with it, but he's not missing many bats with it.
No. And I'll tell you one thing, though. You're 100% right on Houck, and I think he has the disposition. I will even give him a chance to be the closer, Brian, because I think that if he can throw even harder if he knows he only has to pitch one inning. And, yeah, you know, who sees the phase of the kid? I don't know. This Whitlock, he just, like, that game when he blew the first two guys away, and then that was a terrible pitch on that.
Yeah, 0-2 pitch, fastball, basically middle. That was a horrible pitch.
Yeah.
I do feel like there's something, Mike, to Whitlock throwing too many strikes. On an 0-2 count, you can try to get a guy to chase. Throw your changeup, right?
Can you throw a changeup, too?
Yeah, that's his best pitch.
I don't understand
it, Mike. Sometimes, and I appreciate the call, Mike, as always, sometimes he doesn't throw his changeup, which is perplexing to me because it's his best pitch. You would think, hey, I got a guy down 0-2. I'm not going to go to the two-seamer again. He threw a two-seamer middle, that the home run he's talking about to Garcia of the White Sox, the game that Pivetta started. I mean, that was garbage. What are you doing, man? That's a pitch selection thing as well. I mean, throw a changeup there. It's your best pitch. But he mentioned Sale. This is what concerned me about Sale. The fifth inning tonight. And I'm not talking about for the rest of the season. I'm just talking about if you get into a playoff scenario against better offenses, right? If it's the Rays, if it's the Jays in the playoff scenario, the play-in scenario, the wild card, if you will. If it's the White Sox and the Astros, if you are lucky enough to get that far, you look at the fifth inning, right? He gets Arias to ground out on a slider, but it took him five pitches after having him down 0-2. Ordinarily, the Chris Sale that we used to know, he puts that guy away. And I believe he's going to get back there to 2022. I just don't believe it's going to be this year. Now, the next batter is Severino. He grounds it out on a changeup, but it took six pitches after having him down 0-2. So you threw six more pitches after you had him down 0-2. I mean, what's going on there, right? Usually he puts that guy away. Hit McKenna after having him down 1-2. McKenna had fouled off three pitches before getting a hit. An eight-pitch at bat, before getting hit. So three pitches after having him down 0-2. You got to be able to put that guy away, right? So then Valleca, he flew out on a slider, but you had him down 1-2, and it took five pitches to get him out after that. So I just feel like he doesn't have the put-away stuff. Clearly, that would be evident with the one strikeout tonight. That's just not Chris Sale. He's not the guy that we're used to seeing. I give him all the credit in the world for battling because it feels like every time he goes out to the mound, he doesn't know what he's going to have. He doesn't know if he's going to have his slider because two starts ago, he didn't have his slider. He doesn't know if he's going to have his velocity like he didn't have his velocity tonight. So I give him credit for it's almost like one of these old school golfers to say, hey, whatever's in the back, he's able to make use out of it. He gives you five innings, one earned tonight. But I'm not optimistic that Chris Sale is going to go into a postseason game and strike out eight in six innings. Let's get to Kevin. He's in Connecticut. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
So, you know, I may not have the most popular opinion in all of New England, but I think if you're going to have this conversation about, you know, if this season's a failure, if they don't make the wild card, you got to think about what they did in the offseason and what they did at the trade deadline. You know, in the offseason, they didn't really do too much. They got Ottavino, and that was someone that I wasn't 100% confident in. And, you know, TK, yeah, like he was like kind of a utility man. I didn't know how that was going to work out. He didn't have the best averages throughout his whole career or anything. So I do think that, you know, this season is building a foundation for what's to come. And I know that's what Haim's thinking. He said it before, you know, he wants to win in the future and not just now.
But Kevin, you know, hold on a second. Kevin, hold on a second, though. You have two more games with the O's in this series. You have three with the Mets. You have three more with the O's, and you have three with the Nationals. If they don't get into the postseason, how is that not a failure?
I mean, I'm just talking about what all the other teams in the division are doing. You know, like, look at the Yankees and the Blue Jays. We've stuck around with them this whole time. When both those teams, you know, maybe the Yankees have been slumping a lot lately, but that's a team that put off 13 wins in a row, you know, to not be buried.
Yeah, I mean, and the Red Sox put up nine wins in a row earlier this season. I mean, teams get hot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I just think, you know, we have something to be encouraged about. We have Garrett, you were talking about Garrett Whitlock. That's a guy we knew nothing about. What does he have? He has a sub-2 ERA?
Yeah, he's been tremendous,
There's a lot of things. My point is there's a lot of things to be encouraged about for the future. And this might not be our year, but, you know, we're a couple moves away, I think.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Kevin. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. I understand you could say it's not your year. But if this team doesn't get into the postseason, they spent most of the season in first place. Nathan Eovaldi would be a Cy Young candidate if it wasn't for his defense sucking. And I'll get into that later on Sunday in the pregame show. But nonetheless, Nathan Eovaldi still, he's second in the American League at WAR for pitchers. He's been absolutely tremendous. Your lineup's still one of the best in the sport. You have an angel food cake schedule down the stretch. If you don't get a wild card spot, I don't know how you don't deem that a failure. Even if you say, oh, the future looks bright, you would deem this a failure if you don't get into the postseason, bottom line. And I believe they're getting in. They're going to get in the postseason from my perspective. So I believe they're getting in. I just don't understand how you can say, yeah, no big deal if they don't get in. How? I'll be completely pissed off if they don't get in. I'll be irritated as hell. Jeez, I mean, come on. Let's have some expectations here. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. If you want to weigh in this game, what did you make of Chris Sale's performance? What do you make of this team going forward? Would you be pissed if they don't make it into the postseason? And also on the table, Tanner Houck in the bullpen. Will he be a massive weapon for Alex Cora? I say yes. What do you think? It's 617-779-7937 right here on WEI.
You're listening to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
It's kind of weird, you know, not being around and doing, I guess, all of my baseball activity at the house. It was different, you know, for mid-season anyways, but I got all the work I needed to get in. I was lucky enough, had people bringing stuff to my house, you know, whether it be weights, jump ropes. Heck, I even got a portable mound from Babson, so it worked out well.
Chris, you got a lot of ground balls tonight. Was there maybe an effort to maybe try to induce contact rather than be as aggressive as you normally are given the layoff?
No, I just think that this is kind of how the game played out. You know, I know you guys were watching, obviously. My fastball wasn't really jumping out of my hand tonight, so I really had to just rely on my secondary pitches, you know, my slider, my changeup. And honestly, I mean, would I have two strikeouts, something like that? So, I mean, I was leaning on my, you know, on my defense to make some plays and doing that. So I just think it was just kind of how the game played out.
Well, it was just one strikeout tonight. That was Chris Sale after the game. And shout out to Babson for giving Chris Sale a portable mound. Nice of Babson to give Chris Sale that so he can get some work done during his time off. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. 617-779-7937, the number. And you heard him there. He wasn't trying to pitch to contact. He had guys in the fifth inning down 0-2, and he couldn't put them away with strikeouts. He wasn't choosing to pitch to contact. He was in a situation where he couldn't put guys away. That's just where he's at right now. He admitted he didn't have his fastball. The velocity was down. That's why I just look at it in terms of this is fine for where Chris Sale's at in 2021, right? I mean, he's pretty impressive considering this is his sixth start back from Tommy John, and it's fine for where this team's at right now because Nathan Eovaldi is the ace of the staff. So if Chris Sale's your number two guy right now and you can piggyback Garrett Whitlock after him or piggyback Tanner Houck after him in terms of a playoff game, I'm fine with it because Nathan Eovaldi is the guy that's the horse of the staff right now. You think about it, the last six starts or seven starts, I should say, for Eovaldi since August 7th, 33.1% strikeout rate, which is sixth in baseball, 4.1% walk rate, a .96 whip, a 190 ERA. He's been downright dominant. So if that's your number two starter, like we saw from Chris Sale tonight, I'm fine with it. That's just what he is right now. He's not your ace, but you have an ace in Nathan Eovaldi, so it's fine. I'm fine with where Chris Sale's at, but I would just like to see in the next couple of outings that he has, the next, two outings that he has, or three, rather, before the postseason, strike out some more guys. Miss some bats, because tonight, I mean, that was difficult to watch because you're thinking, wait, he can't put these guys away? That was just jarring for me to see. One other thing I wanted to mention real quickly is the emergence of Bobby Dalbec. This is something that I don't think any of us expected. Even if you thought he was going to get, okay, he'll get better as the season goes on, which I thought he would. I thought it was kind of in his head at some point in terms of the hit and miss stuff, how often he was swinging and missing. But if you look at Bobby Dalbec, this level of improvement, it's really unprecedented where a guy is just, quite frankly, he was bad, like horrible for the first couple of months of the season, right? If you think about it, from the beginning of the season until the end of July, he hit .216 with a .260 on base percentage and a .659 OPS. He was striking out 37.5% of the time. The only guy that was worse during that stretch was Javier Baez, and he only walked 4.4% of the time. He had 11 home runs during that stretch. He had a minus 0.8 WAR. So he was worse than a replacement player, and he was the worst among Red Sox position players. You look at Bobby Dalbec since August 1st, .314 average, .400 on base percentage, .733 slugging percentage, .1133 OPS. The strikeout rate has been cut down by 10%, 27.5. So he still strikes out a lot, but 10% improvement. And he's always going to strike out a lot. He's a slugger. So I'm fine with that. The walk rate is up to 10.8%. So he's up 6.4% in terms of taking walks. He's hit 12 home runs since the start of August, more than he hit for the first 4 months of the season. And by the way, his wins above replacement, 1.5, that is the best on the Red Sox since the beginning of August. So he went from the worst position player for the majority of the season till over the last, 6 weeks or so, almost 7 weeks, he's had the best WAR on the team. And he has the second best OPS in baseball during that stretch behind only Bryce Harper. It is really remarkable to see the turnaround. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Art in Connecticut. Art, what's up?
Hey, Bri, with all that said about Bobby, You didn't bring up his play at first base. His defense is phenomenal right now.
Yeah, he's made a couple of nice plays, Art, over the past couple of games. I mean, you look at that pick he had tonight on the Iglesias throw. I've been impressed with his defense over the past few days because for the majority of the season, let's call it what it is, he's been one of the worst, if not the worst, first baseman from a defensive perspective. And the past couple of nights, it's been impressive.
Great. Do you think the interview with Maloney and Fourier with Renfro, you think that bothered him? Are you starting to snap out of it now? Do you think that bothered him?
Oh, hey, I got a funny stat on that, Art. I actually texted their producers a couple of days ago. So until that game on, what was it, Wednesday, the final game against Seattle, you know, when he hit the home run? Yeah. So before that game, from when he did the interview to that game, he was one for his last 18, and he had struck out in 50% of his plate appearances. How about that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So maybe, yeah. But he's one of these guys, Art. He gets hot and cold. That's kind of who he is as a hitter.
Here's the hard question. I'll let you go. DJ LeMayu, Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, you're in a wild card game. It's ninth inning. Who's coming out of bullpen to close for you? And thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it, Art. Well, it depends on who you use up to that point. So my ideal situation would be Houck or Whitlock, one of those two guys. But if you had to use those guys prior to that, that's the question you'd have to deem, right? Because my idea for the wild card situation, of all the owns the Yankees, of all the gets the start, the only game he lost this year was a game where he gave up two runs, and they were both solo home runs. The Red Sox couldn't score in that damn game. Remember, that was the game swung at a million pitches out of the zone in that doubleheader. I mean, that was garbage. That was a terrible performance by the Red Sox. But my ideal situation would be Whitlock at the end of the game. So basically, Eovaldi for, say, six innings. You hand it off for Houck for a couple of innings, and then Whitlock finishes it off. That would be my ideal situation for the Red Sox in a game against the Yankees in a wild card situation. We'll see if they get there, because obviously Toronto's playing well, although they did lose tonight to Minnesota, thank you very much, to the Twins, because the Red Sox need this game at Fenway. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Adam in Nashua. Adam, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's good to finally call in. Listen, I totally agree with you on the fact. I was even piggybacking off of that through the last month, having, you know, Nathan Eovaldi being that wild card spot guy. I think not
He's
only when you're talking about the strikeout rate, I also look at it just the innings he's able to pitch, how he's able to prolong the innings that that's what's been making him the workhorse. You look at the other guys throughout the year. I mean, Martin Perez couldn't even go four innings. You had Garrett Richards getting out in the fifth inning. You had Nick Pivetta, who had a lot of strong outings, going six, seven, that eighth inning when he pitched against the Tampa Bay Rays. But when you look at the consistency of what Nathan Eovaldi has been able to do for Cora and this team, he's been able to prolong those innings. He's been able to keep these guys in the game, and he's able to just shut down those hitters and strike them out.
Yeah, and Adam, the other day he only gives you five innings because his defense failed him. That's why he only gave you five innings the other night, right? I mean, ordinarily, if the defense just gives you average level of play, he's going to give you six innings every time. Now, there are some numbers there. The third time through, he's not as good, but that happens with most pitchers in Major League Baseball. But yes, he's definitely the most trustworthy pitcher, and quite frankly, his stuff is way better than Chris Sale's right now. I mean, that's not even disputable. Yep.
No, it's not. But listen, I honestly think, though, if you're able to at least have Nathan Eovaldi be that one guy to start in that wild card game, whether if we have to play the Yankees or Toronto, yeah. I mean, I'm going for that. But then I think that also just gives you the confidence in Chris Sale to say, all right, listen, Nathan Eovaldi got us into the ALDS. It is my time as Chris Sale to give him that confidence to be that guy in game one of the ALDS, you know, when we get to that point. And really quickly, too, to think, I honestly believe, too, if we don't make even a wild card game, it's just an absolute collapse of the season.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The way that we were at first place, we were able to dominate this AL East, and then now all of a sudden we're just piggybacking off of, all right, well, what's today? Are we going to be in second place, or are we going to be in third place? It's this consistency that this last couple weeks we need to put up or shut up.
Yeah.
Because if we shut up, and it's just, I feel like it's an absolute collapse, so I appreciate you taking the call, man.
Yeah, anytime, Adam. I appreciate it. Here's the thing, too. You look at it. Right now, you know Nathan Eovaldi legitimately has three out pitches. He has the curveball, which is, in my opinion, his best pitch. He gets whiffs on 39% of swings. It's filthy. His splitter is nasty. His slider is nasty. It's really incredible that a guy leads Major League Baseball in walk rate, and he throws two different breaking balls, and a splitter. And his four-seamer plays a lot better this year because of all the off-speed stuff, right? When he throws that fastball up in the zone 99 miles an hour and you just saw the splitter down or you just saw the curveball, it's very difficult to catch up with that. Let's get to Danny's in a car. What's up, Dan?
Okay. Hey, couple things. First of all, Matt Barnes, I have no confidence in Matt Barnes anymore.
His I'm with
first
you.
Eight pitches, two of them were strikes. Everything was outside. He couldn't do a thing, basically. Yep. I don't know where he fits in anymore right now.
I don't either. I don't know how Corey can trust him, Dan, especially considering the fact you have Whitlock out there. You have Tanner Houck out there. Darwinson's throwing the ball better since he's come back. Taylor's throwing the ball well over the past couple of outings as well. And quite frankly, I like Sal Moore better than Barnes right now.
Yeah, I agree. My other point is, I don't know what you do with Kyle Schwarber. Like, you look at today's lineup, and you can't take out Dahlbeck anymore because he's hitting so well. You can't really put JD into left because Verdugo's playing well and hitting well out there right now. I'm not really sure where Schwarber goes right now.
Yeah, well, it's going to depend on the matchup because overall, and I know he had a couple of hits tonight, Dan, and I appreciate the phone call, did Verdugo, but all season long he has not swung the bat well against lefties. And here's the other thing. It's not the worst thing in the world if one of these guys is on the bench in a playoff game, right? Because we've seen over the past couple of nights, Alex Cora has been really good at going to his bench. Remember, he pinch hit for Bobby Dahlbeck, who's been one of the best hitters in the sport, with Travis Shaw the other night, and Travis Shaw draws a walk. The other night, or I should say on Wednesday, rather, Verdugo did not start that game because it was a lefty. He comes off the bench and he gets a hit. So this bench for the Red Sox has now become deeper. The only thing that sucks is Iglesias can't be on the team for the postseason because he was signed after September, which really blows because the guy's played phenomenal defense since coming over, and he's hitting the crap out of the ball. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. What did you make of Chris Sale's performance? Would it be a failure if this team doesn't get into the postseason? And how confident are you that Tanner Houck's going to be dominant coming out of the bullpen? We'll get to that next year on WEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you. We're here until midnight. 617-779-7937, the number if you want to join us. By the way, another guy that we should mention is Christian Vasquez in September, because he has been horrible for the most of the season at the plate. He's now hitting .361 in September with a .378 on base percentage and an .878 OPS. Two more hits tonight, so good to get him going in the month of September. Hey, forget about the rest of the season. If he can carry this on into October, okay, you take it. I won't care about the rest of the season, although I am happy tomorrow that Nick Pivetta's on the mound, which means that because Vasquez played in the night game, it means obviously that the catcher tomorrow is going to be Plawecki. And here's the thing. It needs to be Plawecki if you have Nick Pivetta on the mound, because I can't watch Christian Vasquez and Nick Pivetta be not on the same page anymore. Those guys are never on the same page. You look at the numbers. When Plawecki catches Pivetta, Pivetta has a .258 ERA. When Vasquez catches Pivetta, he has a .521 ERA. So clearly it's not working with those two, so this works out well. Let's get to Ethan. He's in East Long Meadow. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I want to do a quick shout-out to Trey in East Long Meadow. What I want to say...
What'd you say? We couldn't hear you. You want to give what?
I just want to give a quick shout-out to Trey in East Long Meadow. But what I wanted to talk about...
Who's Trey?
...was one of my best friends.
Oh.
So what I wanted to
talk about... Is he all right?
Oh, he's doing great.
Oh, I thought there was something wrong with him or something.
No, he requested a shout-out, so I
have to. Oh, okay. All right, what's your point?
So basically what I want to say, I mean, if everyone remembers the beginning of the Red Sox season, granted we were doing very well, but at the same time there was a lot of games where we were coming back from behind and winning those games where basically we shouldn't have. And here we are at the trade deadline with Kyle Bloom, and all he does is pick up Kyle Schwarber and two relief pitchers, somebody who –
I appreciate the call. I can't do the trading deadline anymore. We're way past that. I mean, I can't go back to the trading deadline. And it's not as if Anthony Rizzo has been red hot for the Yankees. He's hitting .242. So I'm not going back to the trading deadline now. Okay, we've had that conversation for months. Let's get to David in Florida. What's up, David?
Hello.
David, what's up?
First of all, I want an official letter of apology from every single one of you EEI troglodytes
who are on the radio.
What do you need an apology for, David? I can't wait to hear
including
this.
You. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what it's for.
No, I have mean, no idea. You have to tell us. What's the apology for?
Because for Iggy, okay? Because I have been saying it since spring training.
David, what did they give up for Jose Iglesias?
I don't. He's going to be the reason. He's going to be the reason they make the playoffs, and he is also going to be the reason why they lose in the first round if they win the wild card. Okay? Period. End of conversation. Even you said it 2 or 3 minutes ago.
Wait, what do you mean he's going to be the reason they lose?
Because he's not going to be eligible for the postseason.
Oh, you're saying they could only win if Iglesias is there.
That's exactly.
I'm going to think it crazy. But, David, hold on. This is why you're not going to get an apology for that, because your idea for how to bring Iglesias here was to trade Devers.
I'm crazy for thinking that. I know. Off the wall.
Because they got him for free. He got DFA'd. You got him for nothing. So, yes, you were crazy for thinking that.
I know. Baseball's always been about offense and home runs. You're right.
Forget about defense. That has nothing to do with the point. It's about value.
You're right. You're right. As long as they can, you're right. Okay. They should also, here's another great thought for you. Put flip-flop. You want to help restore Barnes mentally, flip-flop Barnes and Sale. Make Sale the closer. He was in the postseason. He did it, and he was very successful. And put Barnes, see if Barnes can do in the starting lineup. I know there's only a week and a half left, but just throw him in there. Why not?
That's a good idea. David, hey, man, appreciate the call tonight. One of your worst calls. He wants Barnes to be a starting pitcher.
Or are you dumbass?
Well, David did once give us this gem.
Players play well, they win. Okay. When they play poorly, they lose.
Okay, so that was one of David's other points about the team. When the players play well, they win. When the players play poorly, they lose. Now he wants Chris Sale to go into the bullpen, and he wants Matt Barnes to be a starter. Matt Barnes can barely get through one inning. How do you think he's going to get through 4 or 5 innings? I mean, you have got to be kidding me. That is unbelievable. Here's the thing. Moral of the story tonight, people, survive in advance. Like the late, great Jimmy Valvano once said, when he was bringing North Carolina State all the way to a national championship, they beat by slam a jammy. He said, survive in advance. Who cares if it's the Orioles? You beat them 7-1. The Blue Jays lost to the Twins. The Yankees did beat Cleveland. You're a half game up on the Yankees. You're a game up on the Blue Jays. Anything less than a sweep against this Baltimore Orioles team will be a complete failure for your Red Sox. They play again in what? 13 hours. So get ready for another one tomorrow and sweat this out. And please, stay on the bandwagon, people. They're getting into the postseason. Thanks to Justin and Will for producing as well. We'll be with you tomorrow before the Red Sox game. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.